If you had to think of one word to describe yourself, what would that word be? I started to ask my family that this morning to see what word they would use to describe me, but I got kind of scared and didn't do that. But I want you just to think in your heart. You've got to come up with the one word that would describe you. Whatever that word might be, I don't think you would want the one that's on the screen right now, would you? When you go into a job interview, would you want to tell your employer, your potential employer, if you hire me, you get mediocrity? I'll be the most mediocre employee you've ever had. I'll only go halfway in what I do. You can expect half of what everyone else does for me. You wouldn't get the job, would you? What if you were signing up for a little league team and you wanted a good team and your players said, we're going to be the most mediocre players you've ever had. Whenever you turn your back, we're going to sit down in outfield. We're not going to practice when we're away from here. You wouldn't want that. So what about when it comes to spiritual things? Several months ago now, one of the magazines that's distributed each month, I can't remember which one it was, had a book review, and the book was entitled Do Hard Things. And this book dealt with the idea of mediocrity. And in fact, when we think about mediocrity and what this book dealt with, it was a challenge, really, to teenagers, we'll talk about in just a minute. And it said, what you want to do is to get beyond the idea of being mediocre. When we define that term, it means literally halfway up the mountain. That you have started on the journey, but you have no willingness to complete it. And how we would use the term today would be moderate to inferior in quality. Barely adequate. Well, the writers of this book were actually two young men who were teenagers at the time. A young men named Alex and Brett Harris. And the kind of the subtitle of the book is A Teenage Rebellion Against Low Expectations. Spending a lot of my time with teenagers, I decided it might be a book that would be good for me to have. So I bought a copy and read it. And in the process, learned that those lessons go far beyond teenagers that these young men were explaining. They said, if you want to get beyond mediocrity, if you want to be more than what everybody expects of a teenager, there's five things you need to do. And as they went through the book, they explored each of these ideas. And they gave examples of young people who had gone above and beyond, young people who went beyond mediocrity to do the things that were really hard for them to do. And as I looked at that book, I began to realize, as I said earlier, that these are principles and that these are lessons that, yes, are very good for teenagers. But they're also very, very good for Christians. And so this morning I want to borrow these points. And I want to change the title of their book just a little bit for our lesson this morning of Do Hard Things, A Christian Rebellion Against Low Expectations. There's a lot to talk about with this. And so this morning, I want us to focus in on these two ideas that they put at the very beginning of their list. And that's to get outside of your comfort zone and to go beyond what's expected. This morning, as we start a new year, and as we think about if the Lord gives us a year of life more than what we've had, what changes do we want to make? Rather than going down a laundry list of ideas, I want to take it from the standpoint of these two things. And the first of which we've actually talked about before, that idea of getting outside of your comfort zone. But I want us to understand that this is something that we need to return to, an idea that we need to be exploring quite often. Because if ever there was a time that we are tempted to be stuck in a comfortable situation, it's now, isn't it? Our lives revolve around comfort. You think about that. Think about your thermostat in your house, the temperature of your car, the conveniences that make life easier for us, and if any of those goes out, we think our world has come to an end. Let the washing machine be down for 3 days, and we think the world is collapsing around us, right? We're a very comfort-oriented people. But I believe the Lord would say to us, you need to get beyond that. When it comes to your life spiritually, you need to get beyond the things that are strictly comfortable for you to do. And throughout the pages of the Bible, He wholeheartedly endorses, and not only endorses, but states that He expects for us to get beyond this. The reading that we had this morning, I think, well illustrates that. Turn back, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. If ever there was a man who grew in his spirituality at a very rapid rate, it was the Apostle Paul. And I imagine for most of us, we would be quite happy for our strongest day spiritually to be Paul's weakest day, wouldn't we? We think about a man who surpassed the expectations that were given. A man who grew quickly in his knowledge. A man who was zealous, who was sincere, who was not afraid. How easy it would have been for a man like this to say, I have achieved. That I have made it to the point where I am at a level that I'm comfortable with. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm doing what God expects for me to do. And just simply to stop right there. But did you notice what the apostle says? We won't reread all of this section, but I do want us to go down to verse 12. And he says here, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. As we think about the Apostle Paul's words there, what he says to us is this: I am not where I want to be. Was Paul saved? Absolutely. Was Paul doing the work of the Lord? Yes. Was Paul diligent in his service? By all means. But what the Apostle says is this: I am not where I want to be. Therefore, and did you notice the word that was used there? I am straining forward. The idea being that there is something that is out there that is difficult for me to get, but I do not intend to stop until I have achieved it. You ever watch somebody who lifts weights, or maybe you're one of those somebodies who lifts weights? What's the goal? It's the next pound, isn't it? It's the idea that I don't want to stop. And if you've ever watched someone lift weights, you know about the idea of straining forward quite literally. I think that's the terminology the apostle's using here. He's saying there are things that I see in my life that are not what they ought to be. There are things where I may be comfortable, but I want outside of that comfort to be more like God in every way, every day that I live. And as we think about these words, what we understand is that God expected no more of the Apostle Paul than He has always expected of His people. Have we ever thought about that? That there has not been a single child of God ever that God did not expect to be better than he currently is. Take just a minute with me and look over to Hebrews chapter 11. I guess this is one of the most familiar passages of the Bible. One of the chapters that's alluded to the most. But I want to say this. I'm afraid sometimes that our familiarity with this chapter and familiarity with the accounts that are described in this chapter has caused us to lose sight of what these people did, of what these people went through. I don't want to read the whole chapter, but I want to read the first three words of several verses. Begin with me in verse 4. By faith, Abel. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch. Verse 7, by faith, Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah. You skip on over a little bit, verse 20, by faith Isaac. 21, by faith Jacob. 22, by faith Joseph. 23, by faith Moses. And then we skip on down to verse 31, by faith Rahab. And then look at verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Verse 36, others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. Verse 39, and all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. I want you to think about every person we just referenced. Every one of those people had to get outside of the comfort zone. Whether it's Abraham, who was nice and cozy and comfortable in the land of his fathers, who went to a land that he had no idea where he was going. Whether it was Moses, who had everything possible, who was living in the most palatial way that someone of his time could live there in the courts of Pharaoh. Whether it was Joseph, whomever it was, God said, while you are a good person, you can be better. While you are doing what is right now, you can do things more in my service. And that's exactly what God expects of you and I. Whether we lived in the time of Moses, or whether we lived in the time of Paul, or whether we live in the 21st century, God expects for us to do the best we can. So what is that for you? I imagine that that list would be quite long. That if we went and we polled each Christian and we said, what comfort zone do you need to break out of this morning? My guess is we would get a lot of responses from that. Let me just illustrate it with two or three that I think would be somewhat commonly identified. I think one that is often identified when we think about areas that we need to do better is to come to an idea that we want to be teachers, that we want to break out of this comfort zone. So as we think about the idea of being teachers, as we think about the idea of taking the gospel to others, or whether we talk about the idea of even teaching those in our midst, is that an area where you want to break out? Is that an area where you want to do better? I would say we should remember along with that James 3:1, where James says, not many of you should become teachers, my brother. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. James is not discouraging people to teach. James is encouraging the sobriety that goes along with teaching. And I guess there's some debate on that idea of greater strictness. I tend to think that what James is saying is you are placing yourself in a situation where you're going to be scrutinized perhaps greater than anybody else. When you stand before people and you teach, there are going to be lots of folks who are examining what you say. And that's right. That's what needs to be done. But even with that admonition, perhaps there are those of our number this morning who are saying, as this new year rolls in, I want to be someone who is going to be active not only in spreading the gospel, but someone who's going to be active in explaining the Bible. If that describes you, but you've been a little timid in doing that in the past, I want to encourage you this morning to do hard things. Do something hard. Understand that you need to take that challenge. That the Lord has said, I need people who are teaching my ways. I need people who are teaching younger Christians. I need people who are teaching kids. And you need to be one of those people. But if you say, that's just too hard for me to do, I want you to think again about that. Or maybe you're somebody who's already doing that. Let me encourage you, if you're in that situation, to challenge yourself to improve, to do better than you're doing. It's awfully easy in teaching to hit a plateau. You get to a point where you've got all your material prepared and you know what's going to be taught and you know what needs to be said. And so with very little attention given, you go in and perhaps you teach a class again that you've taught a number of times. Or a subject that you've taught a number of times and you say, well, I know this so well, there's really no need for any more preparation for it. I want you to think again with that. I would imagine those who have done hard things in their teaching and have always said, no matter how many times the subject has been taught, I'm going to start fresh, I'm going to start new. I imagine most every one of those people would tell you, I found something different. I found something I had missed all of these years. So whether it be in your knowledge base or whether it even be in your style of teaching, your ability to teach, do hard things. Be someone who the Lord can count on, that you're going to take the message to others, that you're going to help others to have a better understanding and to do those things that will benefit His service in that way. Perhaps on a different note, there are those who are saying, well, as I think about things that I need to improve on, things where I need to get out of my comfort zone, maybe it's in the area of hospitality, of having people into my home. Or maybe it's in the area of building others up. I think this is an area where a lot of people struggle. There are those who say, you know, I'd love to do that, but I just don't have the time. I've got such a busy schedule, such a busy calendar. I would love to do that. Well, if that's describing you, let me encourage you to do hard things. Okay? Do hard things. Realize that if this is left done because of a busy schedule, that we can find time for most anything else we want to do. Whether it be that we're going on some vacation, or whether it be that we're going to a movie, or whether it be we're going out to eat, we can always work that in, can't we? We can always find the time. But let me make the point a little bit stronger. If we're people who are leaving this undone, perhaps we need to remember that this is not really just a suggestion of God. This is not something where God has said, well, you know, if you find the time, if you can work it in, do it. Otherwise, don't worry about it. No. What the Lord has said is a command. We think about what Peter says in chapter 4, verse 9. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And I understand that that concept is much more than just having people into your home. It's the idea of taking care of needs of people. Taking care of lots of different things, but nonetheless, the Lord says, this is a command from me. And the idea of building each other up, so many places we could look at, but Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The Lord says, you need each other. The Lord says, you need to be building each other up. The Lord says, you need to be hospitable to one another. And if I find myself giving all manner of excuses, and I say, well, I'm just not comfortable having people in my home, and I'm just not comfortable making conversation, and I'm just not comfortable talking to others about spiritual things, get out of your comfort zone. That's the whole idea. If it's something uncomfortable for you, it's probably showing you the direction that you need to be heading. Do hard things. Or maybe, and this one I suppose would be one that most every Christian would say is an area that needs to be improved on, and that's growing in your knowledge. Our Bible knowledge growth should never stagnate. We should never come to the point where we say, I'm done. I heard a story once that was told as true. I don't know if it was or not. But supposedly there was a man who had been a preacher of the gospel for many years. And he was talking about this idea and he said, well, I just really don't need to study anymore. I've studied for all of these years, and I know the Bible, so I don't have to put a lot of time in my study. I'm going to tell you, there's a man who had stagnated, if indeed that was true. Here was a man who had said, I am satisfied where I am. I want to tell you, the way the Bible is written, the person who is hungering and thirsting for righteousness will always find something else in his studies. When he goes back to passages, as we said earlier, that he thinks he knows, he's going to find there ideas that perhaps had not been readily evident before. He's going to be a man who is going to understand 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. She's going to be a woman who understands that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Let me offer you an admonition. In the coming, I'm not going to say year because I don't want anybody to wait till December to do this. In the coming days, I challenge you to pick out an area of the Bible that you find hard to understand, that you have never quite got, wherever that is. Whether it be the law of Moses in the book of Leviticus, whether it be the prophets such as Ezekiel and the latter part of Daniel, whether it be the book of Hebrews, the book of Revelation, wherever you have kind of struggled, I want to encourage you to take that section of the Bible and commit to its study. In the bulletin article today, one of the admonitions there was to write something down. Make a written commitment. Do that. Say that by the end, and you set the date, I am going to have studied and I'm going to understand what this section of the Bible says. And when you finish with that, start on the next one. And when you finish that, start on the next one. And before too long, you will have trained yourself so that you're no longer intimidated by certain sections of the Bible, and you're going to get out of your comfort zone. You may know the Old Testament stories and Acts 2, but now you're going to know much more. Do hard things. Commit to getting out of your comfort zone. Well, tying very much in with that point is the next step by the Harris brothers, who tell us that if we're going to grow, that if we're going to get beyond low expectations, we've got to go beyond what is expected and what is required of us. And as we understand this point, I want us to fully realize we're not talking about going beyond God's commands, about that area. But rather, it's fulfilling His commands in the highest possible way that we can. It's the idea of not practicing Christianity as that mediocre employee that we talked about earlier would practice his work ethic. It's the idea that we are going to do everything that we can. As we think about this idea, let me pull the idea that the elders want us to consider this year. As a congregation, they have encouraged us to focus on our service to one another, to look at how we deal with one another and what we can do for one another. I believe this is an area very readily where we can see the need to go above and beyond what is expected and what is required of us. We think about that familiar New Testament parable that was given by Jesus of the man who lay there wounded on the side of the road, and two men passed by him, a priest and a Levite. They did not feel that it was their requirement to help him. They did not feel like they were in any way obligated. So they passed and went on the other side. These were two men who would have been denoted as the most religious men of the time. But then the lowly Samaritan comes by. A man who probably in the eyes of most would not have been expected or required to have been of service to this man. But yet, what's the Lord's point? He saw him as his neighbor. He saw here a man who was in need, and he went above and beyond what was expected. Can we encourage ourselves in that same way? That when we see a brother or a sister who is in physical or spiritual straits, having difficulties, that we go above and beyond what's expected? I think most congregations, this one very much included, does quite well in the realm of physical difficulties. When a brother or sister is in need, I, for 25 years, I've just watched as Christians will flock to those people and to help in those times of need. And that's good, and we need to continue and we need to do better. But let me strongly encourage us this morning, in those areas of spiritual difficulties, let's not stray from those. Do you remember what we find over in James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20? My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Tying our first point in, sometimes it's really hard for us to break out of our comfort zone in talking about spiritual concerns, isn't it? Brother, sister, who's in need, we say there are others who are more qualified to help than me. And that may be the case. But nonetheless, we'll never become qualified until we start trying. And it may be that we have to call in reinforcements. But nonetheless, we will have done not only what is expected, but we will have gone beyond our own expectations to say, I am going to do everything I can to help my brother or my sister in need. You look at this auditorium this morning. You look at all of the people who are a part of this congregation. And I can promise you that at this very moment, there are a number who are having spiritual difficulties. Do I know something you don't? I don't. No one's confided that in me, but what I do know is that where you have a group of Christians, you have people who are struggling. Just as each of us have or perhaps are struggling, even at the present moment. Let me encourage you this morning to go above and beyond what is expected to encourage and to help in that need. And one other point I'd like to make this morning in this idea of going above and beyond what's expected. And I want to talk primarily to our younger people here, but certainly this is not a point that should anyway be lost because of age. I want to encourage you to go beyond what's expected and required of you when it comes to your preparation and participation in our Bible classes here at Gooch Lane. You may be expected by your teachers to prepare. And you may be required by your parents to prepare. But I want to encourage you at this point to get in a habit of going above and beyond in your preparations. I want you to see yourself as Paul described Timothy when he said, and from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. I tell you, over the past couple of decades, I have taught a lot of kids in Bible classes. And I have been in some of the most wonderful Bible classes I have ever had, and I have been in some of the most miserable Bible classes I have ever been in. And I will not in any way say that some of that was not my own fault, the latter part. But a whole lot of that is the preparation and participation of the class. And going back to what we talked about earlier, if you have ever taught in a situation where no one prepares, where no one's ready, you know that that is a very difficult class to teach. So to our younger people, I encourage you to be prepared and to participate. Because not only are you growing in your knowledge, you're also helping others in their knowledge and by your example to be prepared, to be ready, to participate. And so as you think about goals that you have for this coming year, as you think about doing hard things, I want you to put this near the top of your list, that you'll be one of those young people. Or perhaps we just drop young from that. That we are all the kind of people that when we come to study the Bible, we're going to make the absolute most of it because we have gone beyond what's expected and beyond what is required to prepare and to make this a time that learning will not only benefit us, but others. I think those young Harris brothers are on to something. We need to go beyond our comfort zones. We need to get out of them. We need to strain ahead. And we need to go above and beyond what is expected and what is required. But the question is, what will we do? In everything, let every one of us, no matter our age, rebel against those low expectations. So once again, we look at a new year. What's the direction we're going to go? When the Lord thinks of that one word for us, would it be mediocre? People who tried but not very much? Or would it be excellent? Like the servants he described in the chapter in Hebrews. Like his servant the Apostle Paul. Which will describe us? Next week I want us to continue with these ideas. And we'll build on this and we'll see that each of us needs to be doing the hard things to be excellent servants in the service of our Lord. Maybe though that this morning you can't even be described as mediocre because you've not started that journey. That as of now you know what the gospel message is and you know what salvation is all about, but you've simply been in some way inhibited in beginning your journey. Maybe it's the idea that you don't want to break out of your comfort zone. You're comfortable where you are. The Lord says this morning it's time to rethink that. It's time to become a Christian. And if you understand what it means to be a Christian, now is the time to do that. Or maybe there's something you've done that a servant of God shouldn't. And you need our prayers as we pray to God for your forgiveness. We'll do that this morning. Or maybe it's something just in the secret places of your heart that you know that you've done wrong. Pray to God about it, even as we sing the invitation song and make it right. Whatever the case this morning, let's all commit ourselves. We're going to do hard things because Christianity is one of those. But we're going to commit to doing that hard thing as good as we possibly can, always straining on to what lies ahead. This morning, if you're ready to become a Christian, won't you do so as we stand and sing together?